Well, welcome to another episode of Shiro's Unlimited podcast. I'm Janie Morris, and it's great to have your company once again. If this is your very first time tuning in to the Shiro's Unlimited podcast, well, welcome. You're in for a very big treat. I'm the CEO and founder of Shiro's Unlimited, which is a global community for women over 50. And the reason that we do these podcasts is we like to shine a light on women that are doing something a little bit different, a little bit unexpected, a little bit of out of the ordinary, that actually has something of value, that actually can inspire, motivate, or just inform. And so that's the whole intention of what we do with Shiro's Unlimited as a company, and also as for our podcasts. So today I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled, to be introducing you to somebody who I've only recently discovered myself. We ran into each other at an event, and by the end of the event, as is our normal traits, we ended up nearly best friends. but what I learned was all about what she does now, and I just knew that you would want to know what this is. I'm just going to introduce her and let you know all about what's going on here. Michaela Andreev. Now, Michaela is former ABC executive radio producer. She is a bespoke book publisher and editor. She has a lot more, quite a few more strings to her bow, but that's where we're going to start with you today. Michaela, welcome to Shiro's Unlimited podcast.
Thanks so much, Janie. It's lovely to talk to you.
Now, as I said, when you and I met at this event, we talked about a lot of different things, but one of the things that really intrigued me about you and your life, how you've sort of evolved through your life, and you've created this incredible company, The Story Keeper. But before we talk about that, could you give our audience a little bit of background on who Michaela is?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Adelaide. I studied here. I went over to the ANU to do my honours. And at the end of my degree, I thought I'd like to make documentaries. And so I packed up my car and I drove across the Hay Plains to Sydney, my little Mitsubishi with four gears, so no overdrive, buzzed the whole way to Sydney. And I landed myself a job, not in making films or documentaries, but in book publishing. So I started working for what's now known as Random Penguin at the tender age of 23, had a wonderful time, moved from the Sydney office to the London office, where I then started working as the international sales manager. So I was looking after the territories of the Commonwealth territories. So South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Had a wonderful time, met some fantastic authors and publishers and the people who were running the business, who really inspired me as well. It was a really successful business. But I had my first child there with my husband, and we just thought, I don't know if we really do want to be dropping our baby off in the dark and picking our baby up in the dark and leading that sort of London lifestyle. So we headed back to Adelaide. Where I started, I was very lucky. The Girard Corporation, well-known entrepreneurs here, wanted to set up a publishing and design outfit. So they appointed me to start that from scratch for them, which I did. from there, I did that for a good 10 years. My business partner and I bought out the business. And that's when my eyes started to turn to radio. So I could tell you a little bit more about that if you'd like, or I might be going on a little bit too long already.
No, absolutely. This is absolutely brilliant. Now, I did say at the top of the interview that you are also formerly an ABC radio producer. So, yeah, tell us how that came about.
Yeah, well, I was running this publishing business, and I just thought I could do a bit of a radio spot. So Carol Whitelock took me on. And so for about 3 years, I did a segment with her about books. So it might, you know, we came up with all sorts of topics, you know, great first lines in books, or, you know, why a book shouldn't have a green cover, this kind of thing. So we had a lot of fun for a number of years doing that. And my eyes just started to turn. I just, you know, books take years. They take a lot of patience. radio, it's start and it's finished in 10 minutes. And that was really attractive. So when my business partner moved back to South Africa, where she was from originally, I apprenticed myself to the ABC, and I just went in and kept sort of knocking on the door and following people around. And I think I did a little TAFE course in sound engineering and did, you know, what we now call pivoting. I pivoted into radio. So I went from really big stories to really little stories. But that is what was in common. You know, it was all about storytelling and about meeting interesting people. And that's my passion. So it's my sneaky way of meeting interesting people, really.
So let's delve into a little bit of that then. Over your radio career, who stands out the most to you, of somebody that you've worked with?
Well, in terms of who I've worked with, I think I've worked with a lot of presenters, and they've all taught me something different. So the latest one was David Bevan. I did morning's program with him, and he just taught me to always have a reason for what you're doing. It's funny enough, you know, we just spend so long doing all sorts of things, we don't even know why we're doing them, but he always does. So whenever he says to me something new to happen by accident, I think, no, it didn't, David. I know you had a reason. Anyway, Ian Henschke was a lot of fun. He was a wild ride. But he had a great nose for a good story, and he taught me to always follow the money, or as he used to like to say, always follow the horse of self-interest. So that was a really good way of unpacking the stories people want you to tell for them on radio, and trying to get to the real story. So they all taught me something different. Carol Whitelock just taught me not to panic. She said, you know, radio is not brain surgery. No one's going to die, so just relax and have fun. So, yeah, they all had something to teach me. It was great.
So as a producer, and you know, the pressure on for every show of getting guests and stories and what have you, how did you find that process?
It is relentless. It's a job like no other. So it's not the hardest job I've ever done, but it is the most relentless job I've ever done. You're up at 5 in the morning. This is for the morning show, which I did for most of my stint there. You're up at 5, you're at work by 6, you finish it to something like that, and you don't stop. You don't check your personal email. Sometimes you don't get to go to the loo before the show. You don't always get your breakfast or your cup of coffee. The show has to go on, and so that's the priority. So it takes a toll on you. It's in the, you know, the breakfast show is even worse. I still do a bit of work for the ABC when they get in a pickle, and I pop in and do the breakfast show a lot for them. And, you know, up at 3:30 in the morning, and you don't stop until midday, and you don't really have breakfast till sort of 9:30. You know, it throws out your body clock. There are a lot of physical demands, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. It's great.
So take us through then. So you were doing that, and then you've left there. What was the turning point there? What decided you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I was loving it. I worked with a great team. But, you know, I turned 50, physical demands get a little high on your body, all that sort of, it's a lot of adrenaline required. And I was getting a bit tired of always being running on adrenaline. There is a bit of a political climate, you know, with Murdoch and some members of government to knock the ABC. So we used to get quite a bit of abuse, quite unsolicited at times, I thought. And, well, you know, you put your heart and soul into it. I'd never worked for the public service before. So I really took a great deal of pride in being a public servant and trying to be there for the public, you know, who was paying for us. But yeah, so anyway, that was a little bit hard. And then there were also a lot of changes at the ABC. It's definitely an imperfect organisation. You know, some of the changes were for change's sake, I think, sometimes. So I just had the feeling, you know, my long service leave came up. I'd never achieved long service leave before. I thought, great, I'll have a break. I'll have a think. And I had a think, and I decided to make the third change of my life, you know, act three. So in that time, I was on long service leave. A friend asked me if I could help her write her father-in-law's story of his career. He had just developed dementia. And when we worked out what it was going to cost to make a book, we just realised it wasn't practical. And I suddenly thought, you know, duh, I have all these skills in radio. I can record him and just capture his voice. And then I thought, business idea, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to record people's stories. So I still do books for people. I've always done books, even when I worked at the ABC. I kept that as a little side hustle. But now my real focus and real passion is in recording people's life stories for this business, The Story Keeper.
So The Story Keeper, talk to us about that, because this is what really intrigued me. When I left you that very first time that I met yourself and your husband at that event in Adelaide, as I was driving home, I was thinking about what you shared with me about The Story Keeper, and I couldn't help but think, everybody should do this. So can you please share with our audience why I thought that?
I'll start with maybe a bit of the process. Yeah. So basically, I will sit down with people and find out, it's very bespoke. It's not sort of, you know, question and answer sort of thing. I'll sit down with people and find out what is it they want to say. So some people want to record their parents and some want to record themselves. Some people want to record just a chronological record of what has happened in their life, you know, just to get it on the record. Other people want to talk about their forebears, people from the past and get that recorded. Other people want to record what life's taught them. They want to give a message to people. And some people want to combine all of that. So we sit down, we work out what is it you really want to say and who are you saying it to, because that's important. And then I'll draw up a bit of a plan and consult with them further, do some research. And then I will sit down for at least 2 hours one day, somewhere comfortable in their living room, cup of tea, we can take a break, and they'll talk to me for 2 hours about their life and what they want to say. And the ideal is that I get edited out of it completely. It's not about me. People in 5 years' time listening to this don't want to hear my voice. They want to hear their loved one's voice. So I'll structure it in such a way that I can usually do that, unless the person's particularly old and needs a lot of leading. And then I will mix in music with that. I will incorporate, if they want, 40, 20, 50 photographs, which relate to all the people they talk about and the time in their life. So it's an audio visual record. But I guess what I love most about it compared to publishing books, which has always been something I love, is the voice. You know, what I wouldn't do to hear my mother's voice. I don't care what she was talking about. If it was she was talking about doing the ironing or reading a shopping list, just to hear that person's voice and to always have it. So that's what I'm passionate about, is getting a great quality recording of them speaking about what matters to them.
It's I'm getting emotional listening to you on this one. It's interesting that you should say that. Something that just sprang to mind as you were sharing that, Michaela, is that this happened when my mother passed away, and mm-hmm. I've heard talking to other friends when I've shared this, what I'm about to say, they've said, yeah, us too. My mother was Scottish, so her cooking was really important. Like, she just loved to bake and all that sort of thing, right? And so we always had, you know, the family always called her Nan, right? So you know, there was always all the different Nan's favorite things, her trifle and this and, you know, all that sort of thing. And when she passed away, none of us knew how to make any of those things. And we all went, oh God, we wish we had to sat down with her and just asked her, like, how do you make that, mum? You know, yeah. How do you do that? And that just sprang to mind when you were talking then, because even little things like that, you know, something, you know, like The Story Keeper, you can see how powerful be for everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, anything goes with this. That it's a bespoke service. Mm. I put the time to make sure what they want. So if someone wants me to stand there and while someone's cooking and talking and, you know, what's the secret? Why this? Why are you doing that? Then why not? You know, let's do that. I have recorded a woman who, for a lot of her story, she just wanted to relay the bedtime stories that she had told her children and she's now telling the grandchildren, because the kids kept saying to her, write the bedtime stories down. And she said, I haven't got time for that. You know, I don't want to do that. But I'll, you know, she was happy to tell them again. So, you know, I sit there thinking, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. It's so lovely to hear someone's bedtime stories. So, yeah, anything goes. People can record all sorts of things that that are important to them and capture that person just how they want to. I mean, film is, people sometimes say to me, why don't you do film, you know, like a bit of a, you know, little mini Australian stories for people. Again, the price there just gets too high again. My skills aren't there. I'm sticking to my knitting. You know, these are the things that I'm best at. But, you know, so there's photos. So I don't just put photos in. I put maps in. I put, what else have I had? Oh, one woman was talking about her mum and suffragettes. So, you know, pictures of suffragettes, I'll get that sort of search for them and put them up. So I have a lot of fun, you know, illustrating it with all sorts of things. So, hey, why not a recipe? That would be possible.
Exactly. I can, you know, I can almost hear our audience's voices and or their brains right now listening to us talking now, Michaela, sort of thinking, oh yeah, that would be so good for the grandkids. We should get mum to do this now, or even for themselves. I mean, it's just it's such a fantastic business. If people wanted to do both, you know, like have a book as well, can they do that? Is that something?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've always done books for people. So generally my books have been, well, when I had East Street for Girard Corporation, that was a non-fiction publisher. So we published Lindy Chamberlain, we published Kristen Wiedenbach, who wrote about Reg Sprigg, he started Arkaroola up north. We published a book about Sir Douglas Mawson. You know, so we published beautiful non-fiction books. When I kept that little side hustle going, I did books mostly for corporate clients. So they were for people like Santos, we did their history, the Cruising Yacht Club of South Australia, we did theirs, different sort of organisations like that. I've just recently started doing things for families. So I've just done the Matthews family. They own a number of pubs here in South Australia. So that was a beautiful illustrated coffee table book for them. So yeah, so that's definitely in my wheelhouse. I do books. I love doing books. I have the service I provide there really is one of coordinating the whole process. So I would work with the person writing their story, or I would get them an author. I have a number of authors that I work with that you can pay to do a really professional job. Then I get the editor, which might be me or someone else. I get the typesetter. I get the proofreader, the cover designer, the printer, deliver the books, that sort of thing. So my job is to oversee and make sure you get a really good quality book. So that's that kind of thing. And then, yeah, there's no reason why there can't be an audio, a different version done on audio as well.
Do you, is this something that, so with the Storykeeper, the recordings of that, so you said that, the process, the actual interview process takes about 2 hours. When that is done, I'm just thinking of all these different things. Like I'm thinking, this would be a great gift for Christmas, you know, like, wouldn't it? You know, to your parents, for instance. Do you get that type of thing?
Absolutely. Most of my clients are people who are wanting their parents to be recorded. And I feel like saying to them, get in while you're young, you know, get your story done too. But yeah, so a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s have commissioned me to do their aunts, their uncles and their parents. I've interviewed people from all walks of life. Along those lines. So the question was back to how did...
Yeah, so with the process then, it's like doing the actual process is sitting down for 2 hours.
Yes.
Yeah, once, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll sit down and some people, like the one lady I interviewed, she was in her 90s and she was very alert but physically a little bit sort of tired. So we took a break in the middle and had a lovely lunch, which I didn't expect. So we took a little break. Others, we've stopped for a cup of tea and a little break. So, yeah, it's It's funny, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I haven't got much to say. My life's not very interesting. I don't know how we're going to fill 2 hours. Well, I am yet to have anyone finish early. Everyone loves talking about themselves, as I'm proving today. It's about a 2 hour process. Most people go over, and that's okay, because it's meant to be a relaxed process.
And I think that's one of the things that is really fabulous about the Story Keeper is that you have that interviewing background, you have that producing background. So it's not like just somebody coming in and sticking a microphone under somebody's, you know, nose and going, okay, like, away you go. I mean, you've got that beautiful energy and way that to deliver this and make people feel comfortable and just sit back and relax and go, don't you?
There are what you would call tricks to the trade. There are, and you know, a lot of the trick is preparation. I don't just have a generic list that I, you know, send email out to someone and expect that it's all going to go well. It's about really getting to know, you know, what's that person's story? Who's this for? Where are they going to light up in an interview? Where are they going to go quiet? What are we really going after? Where's the gold? You know, and feeling your way through that, and also being patient, because some people need to tell you quite a long story before you get to that gold, and that's okay. You know, that's the process. So I guess something else I'm really keen to do and I haven't done yet is to work with people with dementia. I've come up with sort of a theory that if I could sit down with people who aren't really up to telling their story, but who maybe music or photos trigger memories for, and just, you know, it might be a shorter interview, I don't know, but showing them pictures, you know, who's that? And then that might get a little bit of, you know, that's because people's, I think with dementia, people's their oldest memories are the last to leave them. So I'm excited about the prospect that I might be able to do that sort of work as well. But I think it is, I've seen a lot of interviews, you know, I've been working in radio for 10 years and I have a lot of experience with an interview, usually behind the mic, you know, away from the microphone and in the preparation, but I'm loving interviewing people. I'm just finding it such a thrill. It's very affirming.
You mentioned before that a lot of your clients so far have been ones that have asked you to do these of their parents or their aunts or their uncles and what have you. But it struck me then that, you know, even 20s, 30s, 40s, 50-year-olds could do this, and that would be episode one.
Yeah, exactly. a lot of the people who've been asking me, you know, giving me the background to their family, their loved ones, I just think you're so interesting. And I do say to them, you know, you don't want to seem pushy, like I'm already interviewing your mother and now how about you? But I do genuinely think, you know, you're interesting. You've got, and people who are a bit younger do move a bit faster. You get a lot more story in your time. So I think, you know, that is important. Having said that, when I launched this business, my dear eldest daughter, I went in to see her and she was lying in bed, you know, looking at my Facebook page saying, oh, Mum, you're getting a lot of love for this. This is great. I'm so proud of you. Will you record your story? And I found my reflex was, oh, no, I haven't got much to say. No, and then I thought, oh, no. So I am starting to, in pieces, just record things for my girls as they occur to me. And trying to practice what I preach.
I think that's a great idea as well. But look, honestly, I'm sure by now our audience of our Shiro's Unlimited audience can understand why I just felt so compelled to have you on the show, Michaela, because you truly have created a fantastic business that has so much depth and value that I cannot recommend this enough to anybody to do, because I think it's invaluable for not just all families, but just for people individually as well.
Yeah, the process People come in and they all arrive nervous, it's natural, but they leave feeling heard. And a lot of people, particularly of a certain age, don't get listened to very much anymore. Mm. And I think they leave quite refreshed. And I love seeing that change. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. So it's a wonderful, wonderful job.
No, well, look, congratulations. Before we let you go, and we are going to talk about how to contact you as well, because I know everybody wants to contact you now. You did fleetingly mention that you published Lindy Chamberlain's autobiography. I can't let you go without talking to you about that. How was that process? That must have been intriguing.
Well, obviously I was young when it all happened, and she published her book for the first time, I think it was HarperCollins or someone. But when her television series was released in the 2000s, was it 2008, something like that? I've forgotten. But anyway, she wanted to re-release her autobiography in an expanded version. And she couldn't find a conventional publisher that was prepared to pick it up for whatever reason.
Interesting.
And it was my first signing. So I looked pretty cool. You know, hey, Gerards, I've signed Lindy Chamberlain. And it was a real roller coaster ride. It was an amazing baptism by fire. She is fantastic. She is phenomenal. But she is a force. And, you know, how old would I have been when I was doing all this? You know, I was sort of, I don't know, early 30s. And it's like, Lindy, you know, it's a bit long. Can we edit this down a little bit here or there? And the look on her face, I have been silenced for long enough. This goes as it is.
Wow.
Fair point. Fair play. Okay, so we're going to publish this how it is. And then it was hard work. Her husband and she weren't on the best of terms. He had taken a lot of the photographs. So we had a lot of legal hurdles to jump through. But, you know, it was worth it. Her story, yeah, now read it, obviously. I'm very much believe she is completely innocent, but I can see why she really peed off a number of people along the way and got herself into a very big mess. Not all her fault, of course not, but you know, she's tough, and I think she's probably always been tough. So yeah, it was a good signing.
Well, yes, indeed it was, and especially for your very first one, you're absolutely correct. The Gerards would have been going, oh, we've struck gold with this publisher.
Yeah,
she's great. Michaela, you say at The Story Keeper that everybody has a tale to tell. Mm. And I strongly believe that that is absolutely correct. Congratulations on your business, The Story Keeper. If people want to get in contact with you, obviously wherever they're watching or listening to this right now, all of the details are there. But what's the best way? Is it to go to your website or?
Yeah, I think so. Go to the website, just have a look at it. Make sure you're comfortable with what's on offer there. It's the website is thestorykeeper.com.au. If you'd like to just get going, you can drop me an email, which is info@thestorykeeper.com.au, or you can give me a call on 0400 600 840.
Perfect. Well, look, I know you're going to get a lot of inquiries and a lot more questions, and I think it's just absolutely superb. And I'm committing, and I am going to become a client, because I think that it's absolutely imperative that we all at least have a conversation with you and do something like this for our kids. Because for any of us who have lost our parents or our grandparents, you know, wouldn't it have been nice, as you said at the beginning of the interview, to see them or hear their voices long after they're gone, and just remembering or learning more about their lives. That perhaps, oh, there's a question before I let you go. Have you had clients that have divulged things on these that perhaps they may not have let their family know about?
Yes, yes. Well, I do at the end tend to throw in a few questions without notice, just to see, and people can pass. It's just to see if they'd like to record it. And one of those questions sometimes is there anything that you've always wanted to tell your family that you haven't? And I've had a few people say yes, and then pause, and then say, no, I can't do it. So I've thought, oh, nearly. But I did interview someone just recently who told me a few things that she said her children didn't know. And, you know, I don't want to be indiscreet, but it was to do with how she and her husband met, not a very conventional sort of way, and about their marriage. Yeah, there was some interesting stuff, but I hope it's because they feel it's a safe space that they can do these things, and it's private too. So yeah, so I won't go into too many details, but people do tell me some interesting things. I do feel like a doctor sometimes, where, you know, people are prepared to, you know, get emotionally naked with me. It's quite exciting. But yeah, I respect that.
Well, Michaela, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode of Shiro's Unlimited podcast. And you are a fantastic example of a woman over 50 who is doing what she loves and creating something extraordinary that is a legacy and helping everybody else as well. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your interest, Janie. It's really what you're doing, spreading people's words, spreading their stories. I'm just very grateful to be here and to speak to your audience. And yeah, I appreciate it.
No, well, you're more than welcome. Well, thank you. So that's Michaela Andreev of The Story Keeper, www.storykeeper.com.au. And as I said before, those details are all below wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast now. Now, remember, if you want to catch up with any episodes of Shiro's Unlimited, the podcast, it's really easy. Just subscribe wherever you're listening to us right now. Or, of course, just go to our website, shirosunlimited.com. Go to the podcast section and click onto that, subscribe there. And that means that you'll always get first look, first listen of all of our podcasts as they're produced. But you can also go back and listen and watch to all the other ones in every series that we have as well. Now, obviously, like, share this. In particular, share this episode, because I think that you will agree with me talking to Michaela today about this incredible business, The Story Keeper, and doing exactly that. Keeping the records and the story alive of your life, of family members or friends' lives, is really exciting. So make sure you share this episode so that everybody knows about The Story Keeper. And of course, contact Michaela at storykeeper.com.au. And in the meantime, until next time I have your company on Shiro's Unlimited, the podcast, I'm Janie Morris. Wherever you are in this amazing, beautiful world of ours, I hope you have an absolutely fabulous day.